you got to go in with the mindset that a car is built for one purpose. It's to get you from point A to point B, and it can get you there comfortably or it can get you there uncomfortably. That's really the only two things you need to worry about. So if you want to get somewhere in super comfort, you can go and buy a Mercedes. But remember that with comfort comes costs. Oh, I like that. With comfort comes cost.
Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Our special co-host today is Omar Zinholm from BusinessRepublic.net. Hey, Omar.
Hey, guys. Awesome to be here.
It is awesome to be here because today we're talking to the man, one of the most creative people I have come across recently online, Matt Givenchy.
Hey.
He's the man behind ListenMoneyMatters.com and the CEO of Swim University. SwimUniversity.com is an online guide to pool care and maintenance and basically the expert when it comes to taking care of pools and hot tubs, having had 15 years of experience in the pool industry. Listen Money Matters, on the other hand, initially started as a blog site where Matt and his partner Andrew share some down-to-earth tips on personal finance, including income, debt, budgeting, and investing, which they eventually turned into a podcast as well, answering financial questions from their audience. Not only is Matt the go-to guy in pool care and personal finance, Matt is also an award-winning web designer and a small batch home brewer. Matt, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Very flattered with that intro, Jared. Thank you. And thank you, Omar.
I'm just flattered with Omar. But no, we're
guys,
flattered to have you.
After the show, yes. Okay.
After the show. Okay, fair enough. Hey, Matt, thanks for being on. And as you may or may not know, we always ask this question to everybody. What is the best concert that you have ever been to?
The best concert I've ever been to. The first concert that I ever went to, which is sad to say, I was very young and I grew up in a neighborhood with all girls. So the first concert I ever went to was the New Kids on the Block concert.
As it should be.
But the best concert, I'm a huge fan of music. I'm an artist myself, so I've seen a lot. I hate to choose a favorite, but Brand New I've seen a few times. Love them. Newfound Glory, I've seen them a bunch of times. I guess my two favorite, yeah.
Oh, you can't go wrong with those.
No.
So let's hop into Would You Rather. Omar, would you kick us off?
Matt, would you rather snowboard or podcast all day?
Well, snowboarding is a lot harder because it takes a lot out in your body. So I don't know if I could do it every single day. So maybe, like, can I say snowboard one day and then podcast the next to take a break?
That sounds great.
Is that a good answer?
Yeah.
That's the right answer.
Okay.
All right. So, Matt, would you rather go without beer for a year or fly around the world?
Oh, I'd rather go without beer because I'm deathly afraid of flying.
Oh, man.
I do it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's the most nerve-wracking and anxiety-driven thing that happens to me.
You're starting to get like speaking opportunities and big things are happening.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, flying is, you're like the Mr. T, I guess.
Yeah, traveling is a must. Flying is a must for me. And I've done it a lot in the past 2 years and I still can't shake it. I just usually drink. So I have to have the beer before I get on the flight.
So that's your coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Just have the beverage and then, okay.
I figured it's better than taking pills. I'm afraid of pills too. So I have a bunch of irrational fears.
Liquid courage, hashtag, if anybody's out there tweeting.
There you go.
All right. Finish this sentence. Go ahead, Omar.
All right. Finish this sentence, Matt. The three steps to a clean pool are?
The three steps to a clean pool are cleaning, circulation, and chemicalization.
Gotta chemicalize it.
Gotta chemicalize it.
Matt, for those that don't get that, go ahead.
For those that don't get that, yeah, that's my pool care rap video on YouTube.
And it is awesome.
It was fun.
We'll link to that in the show notes.
Cool.
All right. The next finish this sentence. The credit card company that has the best customer service is?
Right now, Discover.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a huge fan of Discover Card.
Awesome. Oh. How about this one, Matt? My hero in the podcast world is?
Oh, Omar and Jarrett. Easy one.
All right.
I'll take it, guys.
Yeah, send me that invoice.
I can give you more. I like Mark Maron a lot, and I like Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang. I think they're both great.
Awesome.
Good deal.
All right, so let's jump right into the questions, huh? What about, let's talk about swimuniversity.com for a bit. Which site about, is a site about pools and hot tub maintenance. Where did you get the inspiration from to do this, to create this site? And what kind of experience have you had in the pool industry to be able to do it?
When I was 13 years old, I worked at a very small pool and janitorial company, sans child labor laws. I got a paycheck every week and I would go spend it on cap guns with my friend. And I was the stock boy. I did the water testing. I helped customers. And I started with no experience, as a 13-year-old would, in the pool industry. And then I moved up to a bigger job, same sort of deal, but it was a company down the street. And I had prior experience. I was 17 years old, and that's not normally the case. So I was hired on the spot and worked there for a really long time. Eventually started doing website design. So I left and did website design for a website design company. And then I was hired back by the pool company to do marketing. So I was in charge of filming television commercials, radio commercials, creating print ads, social media, building the website. Pretty much an all-around marketing guy for this local pool company, which we had about 4 stores at the time. And while I had this job, I was also designing websites, so I was good at that. And I thought, why not just marry my two worlds together? Why don't I marry the information that I knew about swimming pool care with the World Wide Web? And that's when I came up with Swim University, which at first was my idea was I was going to create a pay site. So you would, a membership site, you would sign up for it, you get charged every month and you could learn and ask questions and stuff like that. And then I quickly realized that I don't think there's many people out there that would be willing to pay a monthly fee to learn about swimming pool care when they only do it 3 months out of the year here in the Northeast. So I just created the free site. Swim University wasn't my first choice. I don't remember my first choices, but that one, I wanted something ubiquitous that would deal with pools and hot tubs. And the word swim kind of fit those. Although now in hindsight, I would have chose something different because people think Swim University is a place they can come and learn how to swim. So that's definitely not the case. Yeah, so I just married these two worlds together, and that's how that came about.
Was chemicalized.com taken?
Chemicalized.com. You know, I have no idea. I'm sure it isn't because it's not technically a word. I don't deal with just chemicals, so that wouldn't have been a good overall keyword. But I mean, I'm happy with Swim University. I'm glad it stuck around. I branded it, and I don't think I'd change it now.
So obviously, that's a specific niche. Were you worried at all about covering what some would say might be a limited market, or has it been more of an advantage by doing that?
I didn't think of that when I first started, and I thought it would be very easy, and it wasn't. It was very hard to do. And nowadays, I mean, I'm starting to get a lot of people finding me on YouTube because YouTube's the second largest search engine. I started doing my own videos just 2 years ago, which was the big step for me. And it's hard to get in front of people who have a swimming pool. They don't just broadcast that online. It's not like it's a hobby for people. So getting in front of these people that own swimming pools or hot tubs has been the biggest challenge so far.
The first step in this pool care declaration.
If you want to learn how to take care.
Awesome. Andrew Fibber, you're a partner and co-host on your podcast, Listen Money Matters. How'd you guys hook up? How'd you guys get started? And what inspired you to start this website and podcast?
So I met Andrew through Fizzle.co, which is an online educational platform to learn about business marketing, how to build websites and make money online. And I was asked this yesterday, and I don't remember the exact correspondence between Andrew and I, but he had a very nice website. And I, at the time, just in January of last year, was trying to become better with money. Since I had started this full-time job, I figured, you know what, I should start educating myself on how to manage my money a little bit more effectively than living paycheck to paycheck, which is how I've always lived since I was 13 years old and collecting a paycheck. So I met up with him. He lived in New York, which is very close to me. I'm in South Jersey, about 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia. So we just got along. We just talked, and I read all the stuff on his website. And then he came to me and said he wanted to team up. So he saw my creative skills, and I saw his data and analyst skills. And the partnership has worked out in that way where I'm sort of in charge of the creative end of things while Andrew handles the business side of things.
All right, Matt. So people that listen to this show, a lot of them have their full-time day jobs. And as you're probably aware, not everyone is thrilled about their full-time day job. So for someone that just finds you online and they're new to the game and they write to you and say, Matt, I recognize you as having some kind of wisdom in this area. What are other alternative ways to earn extra income? What do you say to that person?
I would say you have to look deep, deep down inside yourself and ask if you're the type of person who is driven and can do the extra work when you get home from work, or if you're the kind of person who gets home from work and all you want to do is crack open a beer and watch last night's episode of Game of Thrones or whatever you're into, I think you have to answer that question first, because everybody has ideas. Everybody comes and has, oh, I want to start this website about, you know, I don't know, just Game of Thrones. Let's use that as an example.
And stole my idea.
Yeah. And I'm like, great, go do that. And they're like, meh. And they don't, you know, they don't know how, or they just get, you know, oh, I was busy tonight, you know, my wife or my kids or whatever the hell the excuse is. Not to say they're bad excuses, but if you're not a driven person, it's going to be a difficult road. So my first question would be to look down inside yourself and decide if you're the type of person who can juggle two jobs, essentially, and hustle to make that income. And you have to also decide why you want that income. If it's just because you want to be richer, that's not a good enough reason. That's not going to drive you. You need specific goals. Maybe it's to pay off your credit card debt, which was one of my goals, which is why I started this other job and tried to make extra money on the side, even while I was working my day job and swim university. So I did a third job of website design just to pay off my credit card debt. And that was a huge driver for me, and it worked out well.
I'm glad that you mentioned debt. So what would your best advice be to someone who is looking to get out of debt, to be debt-free? How can they totally pay off their credit cards, even if they're just in a regular day job?
Write down a list of all the credit cards that you have. Write down the name of the company. Write down what the interest rate is. Write down what your balance is. And write down the due date on when those bills are due for your credit card. Put them in order, starting with the highest interest credit card first. And I don't care if it's got the highest balance. You need to pay off the one that's 24% interest rate, which is exactly how I did it. And I call it the stack method. So what you do is you put any amount of money you can afford towards that top credit card and pay it down. Once it's paid down, meanwhile, you're paying the minimums on all your other credit cards because you have to pay the minimum every month. And then once you're done paying off that credit card, you move on to the next one with the same amount, and $20 or $30 or whatever your lowest interest or their lowest monthly payment was for the original one, and keep stacking it on top until you're finished all your credit card debt. That's the mathematical way to save yourself the most money and to pay off your debt the fastest. It's the same method that readyforzero.com, which is a very popular debt payment site, uses, and I highly recommend.
Matt, do you or does that site have an infographic on that? Because that's pretty good.
We're working on it. I am working on it. Yeah.
As you should be. Yep. Very cool. Okay. So for someone who's new to this and they're wanting to make some adjustments and listen and take good advice from you, Matt, how would you compare using credit cards versus debit cards for daily purchases?
So don't use a debit card for daily purchases. That's bottom line. And here's the reason why. Debit cards are unsecure and your money's tied to it. So if someone steals your debit card, they're going to suck the bank account dry, and you don't want that. With credit cards, you have way more protection. You have fraud protection, and you also get points, which you don't on a debit card, or at least some debit cards, most debit cards. So why not spend money and collect, you know, a cash back bonus or airline mileage or, you know, just travel points or however, whatever credit card you decide to go with. And the best thing about it is if you just used your one credit card or two credit cards to make your daily purchases, but every month you paid them off, you're not going to pay any interest rate. So it's just like having a debit card. Plus you're building your credit. Plus you're getting points. It's the best way to go.
Yeah.
And well, assuming people are responsible and going
to. You have to be responsible. Yeah. Yeah. But you can also be completely irresponsible with a debit card, and then you're overdrawing your bank account, which I did for years and lost countless amounts of money just overdrawing my account because I had no idea what it was in my bank account. You don't have that problem with a credit card.
Right. One of the things I learned on your podcast is that if somebody takes your money, you know, without your consent, even if it's an actual business that's charging you for no reason, like a gym membership or something like that, you know, if you use a debit card, they're taking your money. But if you use a credit card, they're actually taking the bank's money. So the bank is going to be a little bit more stern about reversing that because they want their money back. You know, like, why, you know, so right. I thought that was a good insight.
Yeah. And credit cards will fight. You can step back and say, hey, this company took a bunch of my money, go fight them. And Discover Card, they'll go and actually battle that for you. Where most banks may or may not.
I love it. So, Matt, you've owned 7 different cars since you've turned 17 with a Dodge Shadow as your first car. Mm. Now you're driving a Honda Civic Coupe. But yeah. You mentioned that now you've become an expert on how not to buy a car and what are the important lessons people need to learn about buying cars. What's your advice to someone who is now planning on trading in their existing car to purchase a new one?
Man, we are all over the place.
You're welcome.
I think that you got to go in with the mindset that a car is built for one purpose. It's to get you from point A to point B, and it can get you there comfortably or it can get you there uncomfortably. That's really the only two things you need to worry about. So if you want to get somewhere in super comfort, you can go and buy a Mercedes. But remember that with comfort comes cost. Oh, I like that. With comfort comes cost. So you don't think about the tires. They cost way more than a Honda Civic or a normal car or an average car like a Toyota Camry. The oil changes are more money. The fixing little things that break, like the windows, because they're all automatic, they break. Just general maintenance is just more money. Just like in a boat, it's just three times the amount of money that you would spend on a car. And you got to think of it that way. So I say you need to just think practically. I just need a car to get me from point A to point B, and that's going to be reliable. And for me, that was a Honda Civic because I had owned two of them at this point. And the first one I owned, I had for 5 years, and I never had to do anything. And getting oil changes and tires and brakes were cheaper than when I had a BMW, which was a nightmare. And also a BMW is much faster. So these luxury cars are faster and you tend to drive them faster because when you're going 80 miles an hour, it feels like you're going 40 and you get pulled over like crazy. And I've gotten tons of speeding tickets when I had the BMW, and I just can't get a speeding ticket with my Honda Civic because it just won't go that fast. All my money away. Officially out of debt, credit card, no respect, I'm over it. Bounty hunting fees like I'm Boba Fett. You feel it yet? Got a check, now deposit it. Your entitlement, invest it, man, take the bet. Believe it now.
All right, man, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. All right, let's talk about being frugal.
Okay.
Is being frugal more trouble than it's worth?
I think so. I'm not a frugal person. I'm just I was definitely not a frugal person in my former life, which was only a year ago. I spent money like water. I bought a BMW, flat screen TVs for my condo. I bought a dog. I didn't even need one, but he's cool. And just spent money going out for lunch, going out for coffee, going out for dinner, going out and buying a lot of beer, a lot of booze. Just spent money like crazy. And I think to an extent, like, there are people who are frugal in the sense where it's like they're going to cut out a bunch of coupons and they're going to go to ShopRite or whatever local grocery store there is. And they're going to buy stuff. I've got to be careful. They're going to buy stuff that they don't need. So you get a coupon. You're like, oh, Chef Boyardee is on sale for $1 a can. And then they go buy 25 cans of it because, hey, it's only $1. But are you really going to eat 25 cans of Chef Boyardee? And should you really eat 25 cans of Chef Boyardee? I would argue no. So when I look at frugality, like, I only buy the things that I need and the things that I really want. And I had to be real with myself and say, what's important to me? So for me, good food, good healthy food is important to me. I shop at Whole Foods. So I'm definitely not frugal. Otherwise, I'd shop at Safeway or what's that one that's like everything's super cheap, Aldi. So it's like I care a lot about that. But my grocery bill is only $65 because of the food that I buy, and I buy it every single week. So I don't consider that frugal. I just consider that just being smart and buying the things that I truly want. I do go out and buy coffee at Starbucks. I like Starbucks coffee. I enjoy drinking it. I don't buy three a day. I buy one and maybe not even every single day. And if there's a coupon, sure, I'll use it. But I don't like actively go out and look for coupons, and I don't make my own soap and I don't make my own laundry detergent because that stuff isn't important to me. And I don't want to spend the time to sit there and make it when I could just go buy a giant bucket of it for, I don't know, $10. And I'm not even that big of a fashionista, so I don't really have that many clothes to wash.
All right. So you and Andrew are authors. You guys have written two books, Mastering Mint and the 10-Day Debt Reduction Plan. Can you give us a brief overview of these two books?
Yeah, I also wrote the Hot Tub Handbook for Swim University as well. So for the debt book, that was mostly written by Andrew. I just put it together. And that's about getting rid of your debt in 10 days. Now, you're not going to get rid of your debt in 10 days, but it's 10 days to start. So like the thing I mentioned earlier about putting your credit cards in order, that's in there. Using the stack method, finding extra income, selling your stuff online or doing some odd jobs around, you know, the neighborhood or for other companies, just to make some extra cash and sacrifice for a little bit so that you can pay off your debt. Because I always say that we had developed this concept called the wealth wheel. And the first step is income. The second step is debt. And as the wheel turns, your wealth will grow. But since debt is the second one and it's in red, I look at debt like if you're trying to go from point A to point B and grow your wealth, having debt is like driving with your foot on the brake. And if it's there, you're going to have a really hard time or you're never going to get there. And this includes student loan debt as well, which I don't have, but I know people out there that do, and they're still at home or they're still struggling basically because they have this like mountains of student loan debt and they don't have a job that pays enough to pay it off quickly.
Matt, in one of your episodes, you changed the definition of retirement and you talked about the power to choose your own retirement date. How do you define retirement, and then what date do you choose to retire?
So retirement is you're 65 years old and you want to stop working. You collect your pension, you collect your Social Security, and that's great. But quite honestly, I don't want to retire when I'm 65. I want to retire when I'm 35. So that way I can actually enjoy doing some stuff. Like, I don't think I'm going to skydive at 65, nor it was a bad example because nor would I skydive now. But there are things that I want to do now that I may or may not be able to do when I'm 65. I may not even be alive at 65. So who knows? So what we want to do is have people start planning for their retirement and doing it themselves. If you're relying on Social Security, that's a bad way to look at things, because whenever you rely on the government for something, it could not work out. I relied on the government for unemployment for a little bit and it ran out on me prematurely. And I was stuck trying to come up with a way to make money on my own, which is good. I mean, it's a good problem to have, but still, I never rely on the government. And I think there are so many easy ways to start investing. There's your 401k if you have a job. You should be putting the max that you can in there. I mean, especially if your company matches 401k, that's free money. Take it. And it's before you get taxed. Just max that out. Start a Roth IRA. And start investing. Use a company like Betterment, which is what I use, where it's like having a savings account like ING Direct or Ally, which or now it's Capital One 360. These accounts are great savings accounts, but and they consider themselves high yield, but they're only 0.9% interest, where if you put it into something like Betterment, you're going to match the average of the stock market, which is roughly around 7% a year. So would you rather make 0.9% on the income that you're saving or 7%? I mean, I think the answer is obvious there. And for somebody like me who didn't know about this a year ago, it's changed my life. I have money now and I can, and it's growing at a fast rate than it was when I had an ING account or when I have an Ally account.
Yeah, FiendCon 2014, jet lag, tote bags down in New Orleans. It's like a field of dreams, and it seems that everybody networking, try to make them greens. Yo, we all prolific, about money specific. We got our heads spinning like we're doing whippets. It's just what we do.
That's good, man. I love the transformation that you've experienced over the year. And as somebody who's been following your work and listening to Money Matters, I got to kind of witness that and see kind of the advice you're giving today actually in action, which is great. Let's talk about budgeting for a second. It's a hot topic on Listen Money Matters. You know, you guys had a hot episode on that one. Most people do their budgeting and their planning, their financial planning, at the start of the year. And then when the end of the year comes, they realize how much they blew their budget out of range. And even worse, they continue to get stuck in debt. And the cycle just goes on and on. How do you get out of that cycle? How do you stick to your budget? Or do you have a better strategy for budgeting?
I'm the worst person to ask about that, but I will give advice on it. I do not budget. Yeah.
It was a hot topic on the. Yeah.
It is a hot topic. Yeah. And it's obviously a hot topic in personal finance. And I truly think people should do it. But personally, I don't. And the reason I don't do it is because I'm a very ritualistic person. So I spend the same amount of money every single week. And I have a very weak social life. So for me, I'm always able to stay within my budget because I know how much I can spend per month. I mean, that is budgeting, but I use a free program called Mint, which is awesome. And I check it every single day. And I just make sure that my account's not bone dry or dwindling at an incredible rate. So as long as I have money in the account and I know what bills are coming up in my head, and I'm a single guy, and I have no dependents. So for me, it's super easy to budget in my head. But for others who have a family, kids, who have other dependents that rely on them, then you have to budget. And I recommend using Mint because you don't have to use a spreadsheet anymore. They're so boring. And it's like you can just add your accounts in and just see it in a 50,000 foot view of your entire financial portfolio, including your investments. So it's just an excellent tool. And I think everybody should use it. I mean, it's free. Why not?
All right, Matt. So for the listener right now who sends you that email and says, Matt, what is your advice on investing? What are you going to tell them?
Oh, Betterment.
Just go all in on Betterment.
Yeah, I'm not an investing expert. That's Andrew's position on the podcast. I'm the everyday guy who asks the questions because I'm learning, and I make that very clear and transparent on the podcast. Andrew's the guy who has helped me get rid of my debts to start investing, and he was pressuring me to start investing. And I'm like, I looked at starting a Roth IRA, and I'm like, oh, this is confusing. I looked at starting a, I can't do a 401k because I don't have an actual day job, but, and I know there are ways you could do it, but I needed something super, super easy. And when he turned me on to Betterment, I said, okay, I can roll with this. This is so, so easy. You don't have to go around and pick stocks. Everything's in index funds. It's automatic. All you have to do is set how risky you want to be. So right now I have it set 80-20. So 80% of my income is being put towards stocks in index funds, and 20% of the money I deposit goes towards bonds. As you get older, I can scale that back to be a little bit more safe, so I can start investing more in bonds as I get older and less in stocks. So that way I'm securing my money, because bonds are a lot more secure than stocks.
I like the way you mentioned that, you know, Andrew's the expert when it comes to the financial advice, and I'm kind of like playing the listener's role. But as a listener, Listen Money Matters, as well as Nicole, my business partner, who listens to it as well, it's an interesting perspective because it makes it, I can relate to you, people can relate to you easily. It's easier to take advice from you two because you're asking the questions that everybody has in their head. So I think in a lot of ways that adds a lot of value to people that are trying to get their finances in order.
Yeah, I think I embody the average listener. Because I would be an average listener if I wasn't part of the podcast. So when we choose a topic, I'm usually like stocked full of questions without even writing them down, because I'm like, oh, what's this? How do you do this? Why did you do that? All these things. And I think that gets a lot of information out of Andrew. And when we talk to guests, so whenever we bring a guest on, I make sure that it's something that I'm interested in, that I think, and if I figured if I'm interested in it, then our guests will be interested in it. So I always use myself as a gauge. So,
right. And
that's exactly what I do with the blog as well.
Well, I think we got a few more questions going to wrap up, but I got one for you here, Matt. Who is doing something that interests you now, like on the internet or out there in your world?
Who is doing something that interests me? Well, I like that Tim Ferriss started a podcast. That was cool. Although, I mean, he's kind of an inspiration for a lot of the guys in my space. Same with the guys at Fizzle, Chase Corbett and Caleb. And I mean, John Lee Dumas with his podcast has been inspiring, because it's like, hey, if he could do it in 18 months, I wonder what we can do in 12 months, you know, with our podcast, even though his niche is a lot broader than ours, I think. Well, maybe not, but I don't know. As far as like, there's so many different categories of things that I could like look at, like in the podcasting world. I mean, right now I'm super into the comedy stuff. So I just think that that's like just huge, because I used to listen to just terrestrial radio, and it's few and far between, especially in Philadelphia. But now with podcasting, there's a ton of comedy podcasts I can listen to. And then like the content never ends for me, which is excellent. So I guess I don't really have a good answer to that question.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Like, I tend to keep myself in a little bit of a bubble and just do my own stuff and work. And when I get time, I can go out there.
The correct answer was Omar and Nicole.
So. Oh, was it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I'm going to write that down.
Matt, what is the best place for those that don't want to be broke and want to get paid to connect with you online?
You can connect with me, and it depends on what you're looking at. I have two different businesses right now, two different projects. So they can connect with me on Twitter. That's one of my favorite places to just do whatever. If you even just want to talk, I just want to make friends. I'm alone here in South Jersey, so any friend I make online is good for me. So it's at Matt Giovinisi, which I can spell the last name for you. It's G-I-O-V as in Victor, A-N as in Nancy, I-S, C as in cat, I have to say that all the time. And the same with Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Matt Giovinisi. And you can find us for Swim University if you have a swimming pool and you want to learn about swimming pool care. I have videos, I have infographics, I have posts. There's a lot you can learn there, and I'm willing to help. You can ask me questions on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. So it's swimuniversity.com, and my Twitter account there is at Swim University. And with Facebook, it's Facebook.com/Swim University. And if you want to learn about money, we have a podcast that I'm super, super excited about. I have a very good feeling that it's just going to blow up. It's just going to be the best thing ever. So if you go on iTunes, it's Listen Money Matters. If you go on Stitcher, it's Listen Money Matters. And our website's ListenMoneyMatters.com, which you can find us on Twitter at Money Matters Man. And on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/ListenMoneyMatters.
Great podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have any final thoughts, Matt, for the listener?
Final thoughts. Yes, I do. if you're trying to start something online, some sort of business, I think one of the things you have to do is you kind of have to throw caution to the wind and be yourself. So one of the things that really helped me was I decided that I wanted to create stuff that I wanted to do. You had mentioned in the beginning, I have this pool care rap video. And when I said I was going to do it, everyone thought I was crazy. Everyone's like, that's such a stupid idea. And I said, maybe, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to have fun when I create. I didn't start this job. I didn't start these projects and not have a job so that I can just be miserable at home instead of miserable at an office. I wanted to have fun. So for me, it was all about, let me create, I don't know, an infographic on 50 ways to jump into a pool. Let me write a rap video for personal finance and for swimming pool care. Let me just make stuff that I think would be fun to do at home. And hopefully it takes off. And if it doesn't, oh well, at least I had fun creating something. And you'd be surprised when you let yourself go like that and you start to think, you take the business end of it out and you just say to yourself, I want to have fun. Do something that's really, really fun for you, whatever that is, videos, graphics, writing even, and just do it. And don't, as a creator and as a creative myself, I think you just have to keep creating because not everything is going to win and there's no rhyme or reason to it. So just create, 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 and something will come out of it, I promise.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I really appreciate your time. Thank you, Omar. And yeah, best wishes to both you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. I had a blast here.
So don't use a debit card for daily purchases. That's bottom line. And here's the reason why. Debit cards are unsecure and your money's tied to it. So if someone steals your debit card, they're going to suck the bank account dry. And you don't want that. With credit cards, you have way more protection. You have fraud protection. And you also get points, which you don't on a debit card, or at least some debit cards, most debit cards. So why not spend money and collect, you know, a cash back bonus or airline mileage or, you know, just travel points or however, whatever credit card you decide to go with. And the best thing about it is if you just used your one credit card or two credit cards to make your daily purchases, but every month you paid them off, you're not going to pay any interest rate. So it's just like having a debit card. Plus you're building your credit. Plus you're getting points. It's the best way to go.